You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. This is the Asheville FM News Hour. I'm news team correspondent Emma Hutchins, joined in the studio today by Olufemi Lewis of the Sierra Club. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Tell us about the work that you've been doing lately.
So I am currently doing an apprenticeship with the Sierra Club on the Ready for 100 campaign, which is a national movement of people who's working to inspire our political leaders to commit to 100% clean energy and renewable energy.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So what do you see as the steps to doing that?
So the steps that I see in doing that is definitely getting communities that are not represented as much involved in this movement. I also see coalitions, like partnerships, collaborations happening with this, because, you know, Asheville is definitely, well, I should say wealthy in environmentalists and as well as groups.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing that work happening. So there's the Western North Carolina Renewable Coalition that I have been meeting with. We have something coming up next week, actually, and at the Edison Center on the 21st, speaking to that community over there in regards to the Duke rate hike that is that Duke has reported.
Can you fill our listeners in a little bit on what's going on with the Duke rate hikes?
Long story short, so at the end of August, Duke had went to the Utilities Commission to request, to get permission to request for a permit to do this rate hike for the customers of Duke Energy for their bills to be increased. And we have seen that this is basically, they're asking for this rate hike because they want us to clean up the coal ash ponds that they have created.
It seems like pushing up against this Duke rate hike is one step on this, you know, getting ready for 100% renewable energy process.
They're separate, but not, because you're still addressing this institution, this utility company that's been in place that has not been holding themselves accountable in regards to what they have been doing to our water, to our environment, period. And so the Ready for 100 campaign, you know, how it's related is that you're trying to get these mayors, CEOs, religious leaders, principals, civic and community leaders, parents, anybody that is willing to come together and to speak out against these violations.
So how's the campaign going so far? Do you feel it picking up traction?
So the Ready for 100 is, and what I would like to speak to is that, so the city of Asheville, as well as Buncombe County, they have had initiatives, something like this, in place for a minute. The Ready for 100 has more aggressive language that is pushing these mayors and city councils to actually say that they are going to commit and what that whole game plan is, that timeline looks like.
Right. I understand that the city has made some commitments, but accountability is difficult because the language can be very broad. So the question then becomes, how do we fulfill the commitments that we've made? And it sounds like this is chipping away at that question.
It is. And it becomes tricky, though, with it being in the state of North Carolina because of what they call the Dillon's Rule. So, you know, cities can't really speak against or really pass anything that is gonna be subjective to what the state government has.
Right. And also, I know the state of North Carolina has all of these laws in regards to cities not being able to pass legislation that is bad for business. I've got big quotation finger marks happening here.
Right. Yeah. Right. I will say this, under the Ready for 100 campaign, there has been cities in the state of North Carolina that has recently done resolutions and have had them put before the city council or the county commissioners. And one that's most recent is Hillsborough, North Carolina. Their county commission has just passed the 100% clean energy resolution here just Tuesday. The mayor of Charlotte had committed to one back in August, I believe. We have another mayor, Raleigh-Durham area, I believe, that has also, Atlanta's city council and mayor has committed to 100%. I mean, it's, I would say the Ready for 100 campaign nationally is really moving forward fast. And from what I've seen since I've been a part of this campaign is that it definitely got its boost from when Trump had pulled out of the Paris climate talks, conversations around that. Once he had pulled out of that, there were cities and mayors signing up left and right. I will speak to this. If you care enough about your children's children, 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 children's future, like it's that seven generation forward type like thing. If you care enough about that, then it should be enough for us to, for people to make those individual changes in their behavior and how they relate to the environment and or not relate to the environment. You see what I'm saying? Like, what kind of behaviors as individuals can we do to not be such a negative impact on our environment?
So in regards to caring about the next generations, and how can our listeners get involved with the work that you're doing?
So how you can get involved is, for one, on the 27th of this month, there will be a rally downtown. And also that is the day that they will be voting to do this rate hike or not. And so we're asking for as many people as possible to turn out to that rally. Another way, and I'm going to look up the time because I don't want to give any misinformation, but another way to get involved too is through, I mean, we're on our smartphones all the time. We're on different social media platforms all the time. So look into the Sierra Club on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of those platforms, and sign up so that you can have access to the upcoming information and events and being able to speak out against this. Yeah, so you can go find us through the Ready for 100 Clean Energy under the Sierra Club. If you go to sierraclub.org, you can click on the link for the Ready for 100 campaign. You will also see other links that's related to this issue.
In doing this work, what are some other considerations that you're working with?
For one, I feel like I've always been a part of some type of environmental work here locally. But here in the most recent years, we've been able to see racial inequities across everything, like all institutions, just in everyday lives for African descent people and Latinx people, right? And so in doing this work, what has come up to me is how, for one, we can't, there's no more conversations should be had on the fact if we are having climate change or if we're having global warming. That's not even up for discussion no more. There's too much scientific proofs along with what we're seeing in our environments every day, right? So to go back, the reason why this work is important is because people of color, African descent people, Latinx people, indigenous people, anytime that these type of storms, you know, like come up because of global warming and climate change, we are the ones that's impacted the most. And we have a number of examples in recent years to show that. And I will start, for one, with my experience as an 8-year-old in Charlotte, North Carolina, surviving Hugo. So nobody ever thought that Hugo was going to come that far inland, but he did. And they had to name it after the Hornets at that time. But anyway, I was 8 years old and my brother was 6, and we lived in this very small house in Charlotte on the street. They had a lot of big trees. We had a lot of big trees and everything in the background, but I mean, in around our house, but it was like three trees, huge trees. I know that had to been 100 years old that fell on our house, and we were trapped in our house with electrical wires. We couldn't get out the front or the back door of that house. And so everybody, we could hear voices and hear people saying that there's kids in there. We got to cut off the electricity. It can start a fire because, and then right when they said that, a little fire had started right in front of our house. So it took them a very long time to come and, for one, well, the fire was put out, but it took them a while to come and get that stuff cut out the way so that we'll be able to come out of the house. Just as that, as my experience, and then also what we seen in Katrina, what we seen in the storms after Katrina that hit the Caribbean islands and everything, and then our most two recent storms, Harvey and Irma. So I just said all of that to say is that the reason why this work is important to me is because I want for people that look like me to know that you have to be prepared, you have to be informed, you have to be educated in regards to what's going on with your environment, and be ready. We should be saving everybody in moments like this, but it's proven too much all the time.
I think when we're looking at the work that cities are doing to pass these resolutions, that there is a certain amount of shared responsibility, right? That like, right, everybody needs to be stepping up, and people in power need to be stepping up to make commitments and then to take actual steps towards change. But it's also important to remember that access and privilege are not equal across the way, that we're all being affected by climate change, but not equally.
Right, right.
And I really appreciate you raising that.
Right. And in these resolutions that are being passed, I will say for the ones that I remember reading over, that was emphasized that you have to come up with a plan for those communities that will be the most impacted. And that's African descent communities and Latinx communities. And that's what the Ready for 100 campaign is pushing as well, the environmental justice component of it, because the Sierra Club knows as well.
Of course. And that, you know, I think that we forget, watching the news, I heard a lot of conversations around Irma asking, okay, why don't people just leave? And I think that there's a lot of privilege assumed that people can leave.
Right. And so while being here in the past couple of days, you know, and after Irma, and I'm riding behind all of these Florida state tags, but I'm looking at the nice car, I automatically thought about the Haitians, the people from Puerto Rico, just like all people of color down there that wasn't able to make it out, that didn't have the resources or the means to, and had to just ride it out.
Yeah.
And not saying that there wasn't white people in the same situation either. You see what I'm saying? I just was thinking about all of those people that couldn't make it out.
Yeah. And so I just think you're raising such an important point of, this is an opportunity for cities to not only to commit, but to acknowledge that there are discrepancies
right.
in the way that different communities need to respond. And I want to say need to be protected, but, you know, that we will have to prepare in so many different ways.
Right.
And to acknowledge that
right.
is a really important first step that maybe has been missing.
Yeah, it has been.
Well, thank you so much for bringing this information to our listeners and for the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. And I hope that was enough. You can find us again on the sierraclub.org, the Ready for 100 campaign on that website. And as well, you can go to Facebook, all of the social media platforms, and find information that way as well.
Great. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.